وبه نستعين إنه خير ناصر ومعين. بغیر مقدمے کے چونکہ وقت ہمارا بہت کم ہے اور سوالات ماشاءاللہ ہیں, کوشش کریں گے کہ بعض سوالات جو ریپیٹڈ ہیں اس کو ملا کے ایک مرتبہ ہم جواب دیں گے, اور بعض سوالات جب ہم ایک سوال کا جواب دیں گے تو خود بخود دوسرا سوال کا جواب اس میں مل جاتا ہے. سوال کیا گیا ہے کہ آئی ہیو مینی فرینڈس ہو آر ناٹ مسلمز بٹ دے نو دیٹ آئی ایم اے شیعہ اینڈ آبزرو محرم, دے آلسو نو اباؤٹ دی شہادت آف امام حسین علیہ السلام اینڈ ہز فیملی, دے آلسو نو دی پاورز ہی ہیڈ, بٹ مائی فرینڈس کی ناٹ انڈرسٹینڈ وائی امام حسین علیہ السلام ڈڈ ناٹ یوز ہز پاورز اینڈ انسٹیڈ چوز شہادت, اینڈ نیدر آئی ڈونٹ ہیو انف نالج ٹو ایکسپلین دیم. تھینک یو. یہ سوال تو ہمیشہ ہوتا رہا ہے کہ جب امام حسین میں اتنی کیپیسٹی تھی کہ وہ پورے یزید کے لشکر کو ایک معجزے سے تباہ کر سکتے تھے, ایک دعا کر دیتے پورا یزید کا لشکر نابود ہو جاتا, اتنی مصیبت اٹھانے کی ضرورت کیا تھی؟ تو نان مسلم یہ بھی پوچھ سکتا ہے جب آپ کی امام حسین میں اتنی طاقت تھی, اتنی شکتی تھی, تو انہوں نے اپنی طاقت کو یوز کیوں نہیں کیا؟ او سوری, آئی ہیو ٹو ایکسپلین ان اردو اور انگلش از بیٹر؟ انگلش. اوکے, آئی ٹوٹلی فرگاٹ. دی کوشچن از انڈرسٹوڈ آئی تھنک بیکاز آئی ریڈ ان انگلش. اف امام حسین ہیڈ سو مچ آف پاور دین وائی ہی واز ناٹ یوزنگ ہز پاور سو ہی کوڈ میک اے دعا سو دی ہول آرمی آف یزید ڈسٹروائے اینڈ ٹوٹلی ہی کوڈ گیٹ وکٹری. بیسیکلی اسلام, وی کین آسک مور کوشچنس فار اباؤٹ ادر امامس ایز ویل اینڈ آل پروفٹس سیملرلی, وائی آل پروفٹس سفرڈ سو مچ وائل دے ہیڈ پاور, بیکاز اٹس ناٹ اونلی امام حسین ہیڈ سچ پاور, آل دی امامس اینڈ آل پروفٹس ہیڈ سیملر پاور, دے کوڈ ڈو سیم. ایز آئی ایکسپلین ان ون آف مائی لیکچرز دیٹ دس ورلڈ از میڈ ایز اے کاز اینڈ ایفیکٹ, اٹس ناٹ جسٹ لائک ایوری تھنگ از میراکلس. اف سم میراکلس ہیپن ان دی ٹائم آف پروفیٹس اور امامس, اٹ واز فار دی نیڈ آف ٹائم. فرسٹ لیٹ می ایکسپلین واٹ از میراکل, واٹ از معجزہ, وچ از ویری ہاٹ ٹاپک. Sometimes we observe in some communities that, oh, some mu'jiza happened here. Yes, something came out from alam. Something happened in Imam Barga or in masjid or in our society. So we name it as a mu'jiza. I think I remember in husainiyouth.com, sometime I gave a small article about the mu'jiza. And alhamdulillah, many people, they replied. Mu'jiza, the miracle, as mentioned in, and the word itself explained that the thing, the work which general public cannot make it, and it has certain conditions. Mu'jiza should be from a person like prophet or imam to prove his prophecy or his imamat. This is called mu'jiza. Not all the time prophets did so. They never allowed to do so. All the time, the whole life, they should run their life as a mu'jiza, as a miracle. It's not allowed for them. They're supposed to run their life and their propagation, their missionary work as a normal life. Otherwise, we may not accept them as a ideal person. They are uswatun hasana, وَلَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. They are the ideal for us. While we observe their lifestyle, we should take lesson how we can make similar. So that is the purpose of sending all prophets and imams. It was, fortunately, it was a question by pagans of Arabs at that time. Why not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down an angel as a prophet? Why the ordinary person who eats like us, who walks like us, who go to the market like us? So the reply was, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending an angel as a prophet, then you can make an excuse that he is the angel, so he can make it. So I am not an angel, so I am a human being. So it's easy to make an excuse to everyone. So the prophet and the imam should be as just like us. Basharun mithlukum. It is mentioned in the Quran. He is bashar, human like you. He need food, he need water, he need all what you need. Though he is just like you, but he is higher than you. So you have to try to be like him. That is called uswatun hasana. So all the prophets and imams, they used to live just like us. And they were living in the world which is full of cause and effect. Only sometimes I mention, sometimes they required mu'jiza and miracle to prove their superiority. Not all the time. They never used to live with miracles all the time. Like our noble prophet, while he was migrating from Mecca to Medina, he was passing through the pagans, the Arabs, the kuffar. But none of them recognized that prophet is passing through. So it is a miracle. So at that time, it was the required thing. It's not all like he went to the inside the cave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the spider to create such situation so they can understand that nobody entered and nobody came out. So this is called miracle. So sometimes it's a need of time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show his power. Not all what you want, you can do it. So there is a power above your powers. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala start doing all the time, so we can say that, oh yes, Allah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us similar power, we can also make similar things. So it's not a, what was the specialty for the prophets and imams? Nothing. So Imam Hussain alayhi wasalam, also Imam Hussain and his family, they were also used to live just like us. So they wanted to prove that whenever the Yazidiyat come forward to ask bayat and hand of allegiance, you need to stand and you need to take action. So it's an example for all of us until the day of judgment. Whenever the oppression start troubling in society, there should be somebody who follow Imam Hussein, and they have to raise against that. So otherwise, if he was running whole scenario as a miracle, it may not be example for all of us. So this is the purpose where Imam Hussein never used miracle all the time. But there were a lot of miracles occur in the Karbala and after Karbala. Some I mentioned in our lectures that, like, while Lady Zainab Salamullahi Alaiha wanted to speak out in the streets of the entrance of Kufa, they started shouting, so she cannot convey her message. But while she said, "Keep quiet," so everything, it seems like no voice is coming out. So then she starts speaking in the way exactly how Imam Ali was speaking. So it is mentioned in historical books that it was a blind person who was listening there. He said, "Oh, Imam Ali came out. Imam Ali came back again." Just he was listening the voice of Imam Ali. That is also a miracle. A lady is speaking, but people are hearing the voice of Imam Ali. So that is another a hijab for Lady Zainab Salamullahi Alaiha. That is a miracle. So not all the thing which happened in Karbala is miracle, but not, we cannot say that nothing happened miraculous. There are some miracles which was required, and it is an example to form an example, to set up an example for entire generations until the day of judgment. Imam Hussein just behaved just like ordinary person. So he was suffering from thirsty, he was suffering from hunger. It's all happened. So that we are crying, we are weeping for that. Right? If he was behaving like miracle, so nothing, there is no use of crying now for him. So I think it is a enough answer to know that not all the missionary of prophets and imams are run. They never used miracle all the time in their life, but they used sometime it was need of that time. So it's their life is mixture of both miraculous life and as well as the ordinary life. So the ordinary life is an example for all of us. But the miracles, we cannot make it because we are not that much eligible. And what we are observing, I left this part, now is not miracle. We cannot call those things as a miracle. The word miracle, we cannot use it. Only Imam and Prophet, they are allowed to do miracle. That is called miracle. What is happening is we can call it karamat. In awliya, in one of the person who make that much dua and he purified himself. So he can do some karamat. We cannot call a mu'jiza or miracle. It's not allowed. Only Prophet and Imams can do mu'jiza and miracle. Other than that, if any grand alim or any person who is purified himself and he can do something which is not usual for others, we cannot call that mu'jiza. We can call only that karamat. Yes, there are a lot more karamat. It can happen anywhere in the world, inshallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The next question, I am the secretary of Foreign Students Association in a college. A part of my responsibility is to organize some culture programs in which boys and girls from different countries come together and perform on stage. Should I quit the position? I think it's a question by a girl, supposed to be a lady, because that is the purpose of asking. Anyhow, hijab is compulsory. It is obligatory for ladies as well as for gents. So the explanation and the hijab of a ladies and girls are different. The gents are different. It is said that the whole body of a lady is a hijab. Sitr, they have to be careful. One, and our eyes, the gents, they have to be some certain kind of modesty. And that is the hijab, and through which we may commit a lot of sins. So it is recommended strongly for both the parties, whether he is a girl or boy, to be careful in terms of hijab. But hijab never prevents you to fulfill your responsibility in society. Being a muhajjaba, having all conditions, she or he can do his or her social work. But if a lady is feeling that by doing this work, by fulfilling that responsibility, she may not control and she may not fulfill her responsibility towards hijab, then Islam never allow a lady to carry on that kind of job. So if she can prevent herself and be as a muhajjaba, as mentioned in Islamic laws, she can carry on and nothing harm. Yes.
So, because my decision will be my colleagues, so those kind of cultural activities will be happening. Mm-hmm. So, since different you know, boys and girls will you know perform different activities, other cultural activities, so in terms of Islam, some of you know these activities will not be matching.
Okay.
So,
like dancing and.
Exactly.
Okay. I understand.
But they are telling you know, religions. I mean, for them there is no any problem.
Yes.
But my responsibility is to control them.
Mm-hmm. You can fulfill your responsibility as per Islam permits. Like you cannot associate yourself in those programs which is not allowed in Islam. But other than that, you can participate with them. If they are forcing it, you have to quit. Because see, la ta'atillah, la ta'atin li makhluqin fi ma'asiyatil khaliq. It is clearly mentioned in Nahjul Balagha. We last three days ago, we read the Nahjul Balagha, that one, the phrase. Unless you can fulfill the all responsibilities which is obligatory on you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can do anything. If you have contradiction between these two, so you have to choose the one which is recommended, obligatory by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if you maintain the balance, that's fine. If you cannot, then you have to quit. So Islam is more important, and ta'atil khaliq is more important for us. Inshallah, Allah will make ease for you, inshallah. Why don't we follow the three khalifas, something like that? I'm not understanding the word. Maybe khalifa or something. What is our rights towards them? It's very clear, the difference between Shias and Sunnis starts from this very important point. We believe strongly that the imamat and leadership of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam is announced by our noble prophet in different places since Dawat Zul Ashira until the Ghadir, the 18th of Zul Hajjah. In various occasions he announced, and he never announced unless he received a wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is not a decision made by Prophet himself. This is a decision made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we believe strongly that. And unfortunately, after the departure of our noble Prophet, the majority of our Muslim Ummah, they chose the Abu Bakr as a first Khalif instead of Imam Ali. So this is the difference between us and Ahlul Sunnah. We respect their views. We never say that you have to believe what we believe. We say, all we can say is lakum dinukum waliya deen. You enjoy with your beliefs. We are satisfied with what we believe. But we are ready to debate. If you are Muslim, let us have debate according to Quranic principles. So we have enough evidence to follow Imam Ali. And we can prove our truthful. We are in the position that alhamdulillah, the best book which I can recommend for this is The Right Path, the Al-Muraja'at, the best book ever written about the differences between Sunni and Shia beliefs. And I think all of our youths, they have to read this book so they can prove their beliefs beside others, inshallah. And the one thing which I recommend, that we have a Islamic law called Tabarra. Tabarra means announcing our enmity against the enemies of Allah, enemies of our noble Prophet, and enemies of our all Imams. If you ponder, mashallah, you every day you reciting Ziyarat Allah, Ziyarat Ashura, alhamdulillah, it itself carrying a lot of blessings. I want to say this because these days we are ready to accept these things. My teacher, Ustad Al-Abidi, he said to me, he was delivering a lecture there in our madrasa. In his family members, there was a person who was not understanding much. Like he was kind of mad. But he had a very good habit. Every morning after Salatul Fajr, after morning prayer, he used to go upstairs and he used to recite Ziyarat Ashura. It was his habit. After a while, we observe that he starts speaking something, he wisdom words, which everybody cannot make it. He is understanding, the way of understanding, the way of explanation was quite different. So that was one of the blessings of Ashura. Not all we think that the risk, what I mentioned, is something like money or sustenance or something like that. This is also a risk. That having wisdom, such kind of wisdom, is not ordinary thing. So understanding capacity is something which is a greater risk than what we think about the risk. Right? So one of the blessings of reciting Ziyarat Ashura is that. But we need to have regularity. Not only one day or sometime, no. Regularly you have to recite Ziyarat Ashura so you can get certain benefits. Anyhow, we should not recite Ziyarat Ashura to get benefit. Our intention is supposed to be seeking nearness to Imam Hussein, seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Ziyarat Ashura, I want to mention very important thing. We have the maximum level of tawarra in Ziyarat Ashura. You believe it? I think you went through with the translation. The maximum level of tawarra we have in Ziyarat Ashura. I don't think we may have tawarra more than this in any other scriptures, right? But we never witness there mentioning anybody's name. Awwal, Thani, Salif, Rabi. Then Yazid Khamisan. The name is mentioned, Yazid. Our imams are more knowledgeable than us. Our imams are more closer to Imam Hussein than us. They know the hikmat and wisdom and philosophy of tabarra more than us. So they have to be example for us. So while you can fulfill the responsibility of tabarra without naming anybody, why we should take the names? One thing, and the debate is something different. We are ready to debate with anyone. We are ready to prove our ideology. Then we have to take names and discuss what they did. You know, Imam Khomeini wrote a book while he was 28 years old called Kashful Asrar. I don't know whether you came across with this book. In that book, he mentioned the maximum level of tabarra. Nobody yet made tabarra like him. He mentioned that they never become Muslim at all. All those things, it was a game. They knew because they were interacting with Jews at that time, and they mentioned that this prophet will conquer entire Arabia. So they had intention behind that, and so they embraced Islam. He mentioned clearly, and it is a fact, we can prove that. We can prove that they never embraced Islam. Just they came, they entered in to gain something. So they did so, and they already gained. So why our approach towards them is, why if they did mistake, why you are going behind them? While the information technology is now open, everything, every book we can find and you can seek guidance. So why still you are in darkness? That is our approach, right? But not all people can digest that. Not all societies can digest that. So instead of approaching them and attracting them towards our ideology, which was the sunnah of our noble prophet and sunnah of our imams, why we should take the names in the places where it is not necessary and repel them? You understand what I mean? It's a we need certain kind of wisdom to promote our religion, to propagate our religion, our ideas, our ideology. So without having wisdom, we are not supposed to do so. Not all people are eligible to debate with everyone. No, for certain people it is haram to debate with Sunnis. Because if they don't have certain knowledge, so if they debate, it may harm for their faith. You understand? So these things need extraordinary wisdom, extraordinary skills. So it's better to leave on those who are knowledgeable. So in tabarra, while nobody is here, so you can enjoy with tabarra. So you can get some blessing, because announcing enmity towards the enemies of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, it improves and it gives a certain kind of strength in our faith. Yes, obviously. So what is the reason why we are cursing on those who trouble our Ahlul Bayt? We are announcing that we are not associating with them. What they did, we are not supposed to do. We are not ready to do so. Right? So we need to improve our faith towards this one. So we need to avoid those things what they committed. That is the philosophy behind tabarra. Yazid is nothing. short age, at the time, fix up time, he passed away. Why we have to curse after 1400 years? He doesn't worth to take his name. Why? Because to understand that whoever is like Yazid, we are against him until the day of judgment. That particular Yazid is nothing. See, you know, Shaitan. What is Shaitan? Shaitan is not a Iblis was the person. Shaitan is a common name. So we are against Shaitan until the day of judgment, whatever, in any form. Sometimes a human being is a Shaitan. So we are against that Shaitan. So Yazid is something like that, became now a symbol. Not that particular person. He gone and finished. But the Yazidiyat is until the day of judgment. That ideology is until the day of judgment. So we are against that one. So we need to identify who is the Yazid of the time. If we are cursing Yazid and we are not identifying the Yazid of the time, then we are losing the purpose. Anyhow, Allah will reward us because of some kind of enmity we have in our hearts. But the purpose we lose. So we need to open our eyes. What is the purpose of Tabarra? And we need to understand when and where and how we have to make Tabarra, inshallah. So our ideology, our faith is clear about them. We believe strongly that what they did is totally wrong and against Islam. And they committed such a big crime that until now the entire Islamic world is suffering. So how much punishment they will get, it is unimaginable. We cannot imagine. We say openly, we debate with anyone. See, they set up fire on the house where angels used to come down and bring the Quran. So what a crime bigger than this? Our noble prophet said clearly, it is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Sunan Ibn Majah, in all books it is mentioned that whoever trouble Fatima, just like trouble me, and whoever trouble me, trouble Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So place of that person is Jahannam. So we believe strongly that they did so. The historical fact is there. So our Lady Fatima salamullahi alayha was not happy with them. So the punishment we cannot even imagine. So we clearly say this. We cannot hide it. Even in channels, you put everybody what is watching, so we can say it. If we in debate, one of the things we prove our truthful is that one. So imamat of Imam Ali, we believe strongly after the departure of our noble prophet, he is the first imam, and we need to follow. Those who never followed him, they gone astray and they have to answer. But those who are now, they are innocent people. Most of them, they don't know to whom they are following. So it is our responsibility to convey the message in the smart way, in a better way, so we can attract them. And finally they will attract. They have to come, because when Imam comes out, so they don't have any other choice. They have to join with us. So they will, because our Imam is leading entire the globe. So it means what? So majority is accepting him. For his way of approach is much, much better than our way of approach. So then even Christians, Jews and Sunnis and all those who are now against us, they will enter in our society, and they will become Shia, they will embrace Shiaism, and they will become the followers of Imam, inshallah. So that is our belief strongly, which is mentioned in Quran, inshallah. So our stand towards them, against them, is clear. So we never believe them, and we never curse them openly by taking names, but we say who what they did, and we clearly mention it. We are not bothering about these things. The answer is clear. Say salawat, alhamdulillah. The next question, say something about Yemen. Why alims are not speaking about such tragedies? Yes. Unfortunately, these tragedies is happening, and our Shia brothers are suffering there. One more thing, one important thing I want to mention. Unfortunately, those who are suffering there in Yemen, not all are Shia Isna Ashari. one thing. But whoever, our sympathy is there, and we ask them to understand and correct their ideology first, so Allah will help them. Always, if we are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely Allah will help us. But for a period, we need to sacrifice. Without sacrifice, nobody gain anything. This is the world. This is the system of the world. So these things will happen, not only in Yemen, maybe in Bahrain. We are, the Bahraini brothers also suffering since years and years, being a majority Shia there, and they don't have such powers. In Saudi Arabia, because of the what happened in Iraq, all these countries are now fearing. And they think that Shiaism is slowly spreading. And it will spread, you know, the time will come. Very soon, inshallah, you will witness that the Arab world will, they raise up and they will take their position, inshallah. And we hope that our Shia brothers over there will follow the principles of Shiaism and they start giving sacrifice. Without sacrifice, they may not gain anything. We have to pray for them. Yes, it is our fault that we never mention in our speeches about the Yemeni brothers, and we express our deep sympathy towards them, and inshallah, may Allah guide them and may Allah support them, inshallah. The next question, salamu alaikum. It is right not to pay khums. Is it right not to pay khums if one thinks that it is not properly utilized and also believes that the ayat about khums is for male ghanimat? Okay. Here we have two different things. One, the person who is paying khums, which is obligatory, and the other, the where it is going to be spent, the expenditure of that khums. One who is giving khums to anyone, like a trust or an organization which carries the ijazah from marja, even though if they think that it's not properly utilized, because those things mostly it's not confirmed, you know, nobody can say that it's confirmed, surely they are misusing it. It's very difficult to say that. But if you notice that it's surely it is misused, so you can divert somewhere else where it is properly utilized. Or you can do that, your responsibility is finished by giving, by paying khums. So now the responsibility of that organization will start. They have to answer. So we no need to bother about the responsibility of others. So once we paid, then our responsibility is finished. So alhamdulillah, inshallah, we pray that everybody, because we believe that they are Muslim, they are Shia, they are doing something for the community. I don't believe that there are some misuse, and we can't call it misuse. Maybe sometime, you know, the lack of understanding, maybe some misunderstanding, it may happen in our society. But once you are sure that somewhere is for sure 100% misuse, so you can divert that homes to other places. There are plenty of organizations and plenty of, especially we need the funds for to run our society and to run our public affairs. This, the second part of the question, this ayat is about the ghanimat. There is an explanation, you go through with the ayat. This is not only this ayat, we have plenty of hadith about khums, and it is clearly mentioned by Imams that this khums, which is a specialty of uniqueness of Shiaism, because Sunnis won't believe that. And they believe only in the time of our noble Prophet and the only in the Mal ghanimat. But now there are plenty of hadiths, the books written. There is a small book called Khums. The name of that book is Khums. In English it is there. I think you guys have there. I think it's not bad to read that. You can, within half an hour, anybody can read that book. Basic information about Khums. It is mentioned, the hadiths and explanation of that ayah. And according to Shia beliefs, according to Shia jurisprudence, that ayah is referring exactly khums, what we are having the system of khums now. Not the mal ghanimat only at the time of noble Prophet.
So can you explain about purpose so people know about it?
Purpose?
The difference between Sunnis and Shias, what we believe in the same.
I mentioned it. Sunnis believe this is only in the time of Noble Prophet and the while we have war and when we get Mal-e Ghanimat, only for that is Khums. Mal-e Ghanimat, you know, while in the time of our Noble Prophet, we had wars, right, battles. So it is while we attack somewhere, our Islamic enemies, not Muslims. When we attack on enemies and we take the whatever the remains in the battlefield, we can take that like sword, horses, whatever the remains. That is called Mal-e Ghanimat. It goes to treasury of we call Baitul Mal, treasury of Muslims. It goes to Baitul Mal. So before going to that, it has a khums. We need to take away the khums, means 1/5, which is 20%. So it is mentioned clearly in that ayah that goes to our Noble Prophet and his family members. And Zawil Qurba and Yatama, all this is mentioned. So our Noble Prophet used to distribute these khums, the 20%, among the needy and some part he used to take for himself. Himself means not for personal use, for like a prophet need to have a budget. To many people they used to go to him and ask and he used to pay. So that budget, in that budget he used to put all those Mal-e Ghanimat as a khums. What Sunnis say that is only in the time of our Noble Prophet. After that it's not allowed. It's khums is totally, they never believe now. They only believe in zakat. Right? But we believe that no, this is extended until the Day of Judgment. So the form is different because we see the basic difference is they stop in on our Noble Prophet. After the Prophet, they never believe as infallible. We believe that after Prophet, the Imamat is similar to prophecy. They are infallible and they have responsibility just like our Noble Prophet. But the prophecy is finished, but the leadership Imamat is continued until now and until the Day of Judgment. So we believe strongly that our Imams are just like our Noble Prophet. So all these laws will continue until the Day of Judgment. That is the basic difference what we have. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Another question, إِنَّ لِقَتْلِ الْحُسَيْنِ حَرَارَةٌ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَا تَبْرُدُ أَبَدًا. What does hararat means? How to utilize this hararat? Alhamdulillah, I am very glad that our society is alert and even they are alert what hadith we are reciting and what ayah we are using. Alhamdulillah. إِنَّ لِقَتْلِ الْحُسَيْنِ حَرَارَةٌ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَا تَبْرُدُ أَبَدًا. For sure, because of the blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, the hararat meaning here, the kind of emotions, emotional feelings, and the heat of Iman here, not the ordinary heat, the heat of Iman. Heat of Iman is not just how it's hot like that, it's a materialistic way. No, it's a kind of spiritual heat that runs the societies. Without this kind of spiritual feelings and emotions, no society can survive. So because of the blood which is shed in the land of Karbala by Imam Hussein and his companions and family, every mu'min who is true mu'min will feel such kind of heat and in their beliefs and such kind of emotions that can guide the societies to awaken, always awaken and be vigilant towards the Islamic principles. So they never allow any other Yazid to come and oppress. That kind of vigilancy here means, hararat means, they are vigilant. They never allow anybody to create any problem in our society. Always they are very keen and very vigilant about the Islamic principles. They never allow to destroy somebody to come and destroy the principles of Islam. That kind of vigilancy and that kind of awakening is called that hararat. So this hararat, from where it comes? By the blood of Abu Abdullah and Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam. So every year we commemorate, and that commemoration will make us awaken and we are vigilant always So while Imam Khomeini said, what we have because of this Muharram, exactly that awakening he means. Every year it seems that we are the batteries. It's rechargeable batteries. So once we feel that we are going low in power, so this power will come and make us comfortable and then make us awaken and vigilant. So we are watching and we are observing. We never allow Yazidiyya to come again. So we are always waiting for Imam. When he comes, we will fight with all our energy. That is called Hararat. So, Alhamdulillah, this question is very good for me. And what does Hararat mean? This is the Hararat mean. How to utilize this Hararat? Yes. Anybody can misutilize it. See, I mentioned in one of my lectures that we need two different things, two things simultaneous in our society. One, the emotion feelings in youth, that is necessary. Otherwise, the society will sleep and you cannot expect anything from that society. Simultaneously, we need wisdom from our elders to guide that emotion feelings towards the right path. So if a person is emotional, he can do anything, right or wrong. Once the direction comes from our elders, so they can direct them, that emotion feelings, towards the right path. So we can balance the society. So what we mean, how we have to utilize that? With guidance, with the principles of Islam. We need to be careful that if we have some emotion feelings, we need to put these emotional feelings under the Islamic principles and under the Islamic laws. We need to move within the Islamic laws, not beyond the Islamic laws. We cannot go beyond the Islamic laws. We are not supposed to use these feelings, the emotions, in the way which we like. No. In the way which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned and the Islamic laws are there, and within that Islamic laws we need to move and we need to go forward. That is called proper utilization of our emotional feelings and that kind of heat. Alhamdulillah. Recite Salawat. Bismihi ta'ala. In the ghaibat of Imam al-Zamana ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, how can how can we know who is the right person to lead the Muslim? This is one question. I think the similar question we have too. Can you explain Vilayat Faqih, and is it really needed? Any hadith proving it for a layman? Okay, these two questions. Oh no, one more is there. Salam, is Vilayat Faqih connected to Hizbullah's victory in any ways? So these three questions is something connected to each other. I need a little bit time, maybe. Within time we can finish, Alhamdulillah. Our faith and our beliefs and our society is not just like others. There is a verse in Quran which mentions clearly this very important point. Inil hukmu illa lillah. Please listen it very carefully. It is very hot topic and very important to know what is the Islamic perspective, what is the Quranic perspective. Inil hukmu illa lillah. Nobody can rule except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only ruler is Allah. And fortunately last night I mentioned this, the Khawarij, they raised the Quran, they said, La hukm illa lillah. Imam Ali, what he replied, you know, beautifully, he said, Kalimatu haqqin yuradu bihal batil. Yeah, this is a very nice sentence, but they mean different, they mean batil. They mean falsehood within the... Anybody can misuse the words by not explaining properly. They can misuse it. So the Khawarij was misusing these words. Imam Ali said, Kalimatu haqqin. That verse is true, but they mean different. Not exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means with it. So, inil hukmu illa lillah means nobody has right to rule over anybody. nations or Muslims particularly. Only Allah has right. And we have another verse. Ulil amr minkum. Ati'ullah wa ati'ur rasul wa ulil amr minkum. You need to believe, you need to follow, you need to obey the orders of Allah, then noble prophet, then ulil amr, which we believe all imams after our noble prophet. Right? So it is connected to each other. Allah never comes to you and orders something. So we need somebody to guide on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That somebody is our noble prophet. And after him, imams one by one. The first imam, the second imam, the third imam, until imam of our age. Right? So until now we don't have any problem. So because of ghaibat, being imam away from us, I'm telling you this ghaibat is one way. We cannot see him, but he can see us. He is watching on us. So we cannot hide from him. But we are not eligible to see him. Right? It's a ghaibat is one way, not two way. He is observing and is mentioned every Thursday night. Amal of all mankind will go to him and he will see that. And he will, until he is not signing it, the angels will not take up. You understand? There are hadiths. So nothing is hidden from him, because he is the hujjat of this earth. So without him, the earth cannot survive. لَوْلَا الْحُجَّةِ لَسَاقَتِ الْأَرْضُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. It is clearly mentioned. Because he is not accessible, so there should be a way. We are not just like supposed to leave just like that, because our imam is not accessible, so the all ahkam and all the laws are now holiday for that. Now it is closed until he reappears. It's not like that. So he himself mentioned in a hadith, which is very famous hadith and mutawatir record, means in various way this hadith came to us. فَأَمَّا الْحَوَادِثُ الْوَاقِعَ فَارْجِعُوا فِيهَا إِلَىٰ رُوَاتِ أَحَادِيثِنَا فَإِنَّهُمْ حُجَّتِي عَلَيْكُمْ وَأَنَا حُجَّتُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ. So see the link. Whatever happens in your society, in your personal life as well as in your social life, you need to ponder on the hadith. فَأَمَّا الْحَوَادِثُ الْوَاقِعَ فَارْجِعُوا فِيهَا إِلَىٰ رُوَاتِ أَحَادِيثِنَا. رُوَاتِ أَحَادِيثِ meaning the mujtahids. Those who can understand from the Quran and the Sunnah and the hadith of our noble prophet and imams, they can extract the Islamic principles and Islamic laws, what we call jurisprudence, the fiqh. So they are the persons representing imam. أَمَّا الْحَوَادِثُ الْوَاقِعَ فَرْجِعُوا فِيهَا إِلَىٰ رُوَاتِ أَحَادِيثِنَا. Now, فَإِنَّهُمْ حُجَّتِي عَلَيْكُمْ. They are the evidence on you from my behalf. Meaning what? Whatever they say, it just like what I am saying to you. It's my words. It's not ending end here. فَإِنَّهُمْ حُجَّتِي عَلَيْكُمْ وَأَنَا حُجَّتُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ. And I am watching on them. This is the link, the chain. They are watching on you and you have to obey them. I am watching on them and they have to obey me. I'm Hujjatullah, means I'm also not left alone. I link with Allah. So the link again goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we believe a marja, meaning we are believing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, it in a little bit explanation about the fatwa. In our Shia beliefs, despite of Sunni beliefs, we have a very unique understanding here. Whatever the mujtahid gives fatwa, we never believe that this is exactly what is written in the Lawh-e Mahfuz. No. Al-Mujtahidu Mukhti'un. We believe strongly that Mujtahid can do mistake, because he's not infallible. He's not like Imam. He's not like Imam-e Masoom. Right? So what happens? If he issued a fatwa and that fatwa is exactly what is written in the Lawh-e Mahfuz, meaning exactly the word of Imam, exactly the word of the fatwa of our noble prophet, exactly what Allah want from us, so he will get two rewards. One, for seeking the fatwa of the hukm, the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other reward that he reached until that, and he able to extract from the Quran and Sunnah exactly what Allah means. So he will get two rewards in the day of judgment. We cannot justify now, is this fatwa is exactly according to Lawhi Mahfuz or not, because we never seen Lawhi Mahfuz. So in the day of judgment, it will open to all that that fatwa was exactly what is written in the Lawhi Mahfuz. So he will get two rewards. One, for trying, for seeking. The other reward is reaching to the level that it is exactly how written in the Lawhi Mahfuz. Okay? If that fatwa is not exactly what is written in the Lawhi Mahfuz, it is different, then he will get only one reward. So he tried his best, but he could not reach. But what happens to us? We are muqallid. Muqallid meaning what? Muqallid, taqlid meaning putting our responsibility on somebody else's shoulder. That is called taqlid. So if Allah asks us, why you did so? We can answer easily, because that marja said to me. Why you obey him? Because our Imam of 8 said to me that to obey one of the marja. Finish. So there is no punishment to me. There is no further question. So our duty is finished. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. It's clearly mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never puts burden more than our capacity. If we cannot pray while standing, we can sit and pray. Easy. Even while we cannot sit and pray, we can lay down and pray. So there is no compulsion, there is no compulsory, if you cannot make it, you have to. No. Within our capacity. So our capacity is finished here. What maximum we could do, we could follow the marja. Or if we are not ready to follow the marja, we need to go and study and become marja, mujtahid. The ways are open. If somebody don't want to follow the marja, the ways are open. They can go and study and learn and be a mujtahid. So they don't need to...